Today I want to talk about responsible faith. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, that's where we'll begin today. Hebrews chapter 12 on your devices or toward the back of your Bible. Responsibility. You know, I wonder what our world would look like without responsibility. Actually, I believe we're getting a glimpse of what the world looks like without responsibility. And so, today I want to talk about responsible faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the next to the last verse. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. As a Christian, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you have been born again, as Jesus talks about and we'll see a little later in Scripture, if you're a believer in Christ, you're called to serve God acceptably. And what does that look like? Well, he tells us right here, with reverence. That means with respect. You know, you don't play around with God. You don't play games with God. You serve him with respect. And it says godly fear. Godly fear. You know, God doesn't want us to be frightened of him or worried about if he's going to come down with his fist and bang us, crush us, snuff us out. That is not godly fear. Godly fear connects with that reference of respect. Respecting who God is, respecting what he has done for us, respecting who he is, the creator of all things, our creator. He created you. His word says, God says in his word, he knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. Man, that's, I don't know about you, but that's beyond me. But we're to serve God with reverence, with respect, and with godly fear. You know, that means don't take it lightly. Don't take him lightly. Don't take who he is and what he's done for us lightly. But rather, respect him. Matthew chapter 6. And you don't have to go there. I'm just going to, it's the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. In the Lord's Prayer, if you go through that line, verse by verse, line by line, it really shows us how to effectively carry out our responsibility in prayer. You see, for the Christian, responsible faith comes from prayer. Our primary responsibility, one of our primary responsibilities is prayer. But there's a verse in that Lord's Prayer. It says this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And he starts it out with our Father who is in heaven. It's prayer. So you're petitioning, you're asking. And he says, your kingdom come. We're to pray, God, your kingdom come. Part of what the church is to do is to reestablish God's kingdom, to take back what mankind gave away. And then he says, your will be done. How many want God's will to be done in your life? Yeah, we raise our hand like that, not like that. Do we really? Do we really want his will to be done? Because you see, his will most often doesn't line up with our will. It doesn't. We have a mind of our own. We have a will of our own, which he allows us, he permits us. But it doesn't necessarily line up with his will. And so we're to pray for his will to come in our lives. But that's a big bite. It's a big bite. It's a big responsibility. And it's a big sacrifice to say, God, I'll give up what I want for what you want. True? Yeah, ouch, right? Here's the point. Prayer produces responsible faith. Prayer produces responsible faith. You see, people need to invite God's rule and God's power into the affairs of our lives through prayer. Because if humans don't pray, God's rule in their circumstances is forfeited. Now, I know the cliche, and I've heard people say it. People say, well, if God wants to do something, he's going to do it. Wrong. No. God moves in people's lives who welcome him, who engage him, who ask him to be a part of their lives. He doesn't invade our lives uninvited. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on people. He wants us to open ourselves to him. And so if we don't pray, God's rule in our life, we've just put ourselves out there. And we can't expect God to just, like a robot, automatically take care of us. We need to invite his rule. We need to invite his power into our lives. Every person, listen, every person is responsible to invite God's presence, God's purpose, and God's power into their world. Instead of being men and women who are hopeless and helpless victims of circumstance, the Bible declares that redeemed people, people who have received Christ's redemption, are hopeful, and they're capable of expecting victory when they pray in faith. That's why we pray. We don't pray like throwing darts and hope it hits the target. We pray, God's word says, you pray expecting victory in your prayer, believing for it. And so I want to set this up in three areas this morning, the context of our responsibility or responsible faith. And that is this. First, there's going to be man's loss, then God's restoration, and then God's or man's responsibility. Man's loss, God's restoration, and then man's responsibility. Genesis 1:28. In the beginning of your Bible or your devices. Genesis 1:28. You know, God was beginning to create us, the human race. And I want to touch on something that's not going to be on the screen. And I'm going to back up to verse 26, but 28 is where we're going to really hit on. Then God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? That's important. Because there's a lot of political correctness and nonsense going on about transgenders and this kind of stuff. Listen, you are what God created you to be. It's in your genes. I'm sorry, if you don't like it, you can't change it. Embrace it. Let God create and continue to develop you in what he wants you to be, a whole person in Christ. Okay, that was a rabbit. But verse 28, then God blessed them. Okay, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The word here in the beginning tells us that God, in the beginning, gave dominion over the earth to man, mankind. Notice when I use the word man or mankind, ladies, that includes you. Because when he said he's creating man, that's in the context of mankind, because right after he says he created them. So that's what he's referring to, us, okay? He tells us that he gave man dominion over the earth. In other words, he gave man responsibility for the earth. He gave us responsibility to steward the earth. But it didn't go well, because mankind betrayed God's trust in him. And man not only lost his relationship with God, but he also lost his ability to rule over the earth responsibly. And it started, of course, with Adam and Eve. And there's this thing about responsible faith I'm talking about. And what happened when they fell? She blamed it on the snake. You know, he says, Adam, what have you done? Well, the woman made me do it. He looks at the woman and she said, the snake made me do it. So right there, in the very beginning, the first man and first woman started shucking responsibility, didn't they? And it's still going on today, isn't it? But it shouldn't be so for the church. It shouldn't be so for us. Man lost his relationship with God in the fall and his ability to rule responsibly. 1 John says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. In other words, control of the enemy. The whole world. You see, we didn't just betray God's responsibility entrusted to us, but we lost it to the devil. We gave it over to the devil. We gave it away to the one whose only cause, his only mission, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Man's loss. Since the fall of man, we've not only been vulnerable to satanic deception, our own sin and rebellion has helped escalate the confused mess in the world today. You see, between man's sin and Satan's mission, death and destruction have penetrated every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Man's loss. You see, there was a whole bunch of loss at the fall. We lost a lot. But then there's God's restoration. God's restoration. You see, God saw what had happened. Seeing us betray and to forfeit what he entrusted us with, turned over to the enemy, someone he'd already given the boot out of heaven. So God made a move to give us hope. He sent us Jesus. He sent us Jesus, whose ministry proclaimed the possibility for man's restoration to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus' whole ministry was about, proclaiming the restoration of mankind, men and women, to the kingdom of God. And he really stated it in one simple statement in Matthew 4:17. And this is what Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. With one short statement, Jesus announced the rule of God was being made available again to mankind. In his ministry, then and now, everybody know Jesus is still doing ministry today? In his ministry then and now, when Jesus heals, he shows what can happen when the rule of God enters a situation. When he answers need in any situation, the power of God's rule is shown to be available to us. And when Jesus teaches, his desire is to straighten out our thinking. Straighten out our thinking so we can see what God the Father is really like. So we can see what he's really like. So we can respond correctly to him and to his kingdom. You see, because of the fall of man, and because of what's taken place over the years, because of the dysfunction of humanity, a lot of people have a really messed up idea of who God is. Some of it is because of what earthly fathers have been to them, or what earthly fathers have not been to people. And so they got this distorted view of Father. And see, because he's Father God, we automatically connect him with an earthly father. We must be like him, swinging a big limb and a big hammer. But no, that's not. Jesus came, and all through his ministry, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But Jesus looked pretty good, didn't he? How he treated people, how he ministered to people, how he was just with people. Colossians 2, 15. Colossians 2:15. Remember, I'm talking about God's restoration now. He sent Jesus to proclaim the restoration of God's kingdom through him, through faith in him, through his death and his resurrection and his victory over the enemy's grip and hold on the world. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He's talking about what Jesus did on the cross. He's talking about his brutal death, his burial, and his resurrection. Okay? He disarmed Satan's hold. He disarmed the principalities of darkness. And it says, made a public spectacle out of them. You see, every demon in hell and Satan himself was smirking and laughing as he hung on the cross. It's done. We've got this deal closed. But when he came out of the tomb, he made a public spectacle out of them. He triumphed over death so that the restoration could begin. The restoration of God's kingdom and mankind to it. You see, responsible faith says we're supposed to be about the business of taking back the kingdom. Well, what does that look like, Pastor? It looks like praying a whole bunch for people, for yourself, for others. Not just asking for what you need or what you want, but interceding, praying for people. We have intercessory prayer here at church, and I'm just going to be real honest with you. I'm real disappointed about the participation in it. There's nothing special or super spiritual about interceding, but it's important for the church to be a praying church. Amen. Jesus said, I want this house to be a house of prayer, a house of prayer. Prayer moves God. Prayer helps take back the kingdom. Well, how else? Well, I'm going to talk about a couple of those things in just a minute about what that looks like taking back the kingdom. But the point is this. Jesus, through his crucifixion, destroyed the power of the devil over mankind. So that's no longer an excuse, okay? The devil does not have authority over you unless you give it to him, unless you give it back again, like Adam and Eve did. Jesus destroyed Satan's power over you. We got to get that. The church has got to get that. God's restoration. And so let's talk about man's responsibility. Go to John chapter 3, if you would, please. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. John chapter 3. Man's responsibility. In light of what Jesus did and what he makes possible for us, each person, listen to me, each person has to decide whether or not he or she will utilize what's available to him or her and live to help advance the kingdom of God. It's a choice. We either choose to help advance the kingdom of God in our children, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our businesses, in our workplace, in our families, or we choose not to. It's that simple. In light of what Jesus did and makes possible. John 3, 3 through 5. Nicodemus, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very highly educated religious scholar of his time. He believed Jesus was the Son of God. He just didn't know how to get it from his head to his heart. And Jesus answered and said to him, verse 3, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" See, he was confused because it wasn't coming through spiritually. It was just in his head. And so Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," our physical birth, you know, a lady's water breaks when we're born, when the baby's born. "Unless you're born of water physically and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You must be born again, spiritually. You see, what happened back there in Genesis, in the fall of man died spiritually. A spiritual death took place in Adam and Eve, and every offspring from that point forth was born spiritually dead. Every cute, cuddly, sweet baby that comes into this world is spiritually dead. It's not my opinion. It's Jesus' words. It's truth. We must be born again. What do you mean? You must receive the Spirit of Christ by faith. Faith in Christ as your Savior. You must be born again spiritually. That's our responsibility. That's mankind's responsibility. That's our first and foremost responsibility of faith, is to put faith in Christ. And once this is secured, once you do that, once you have it in your heart of hearts, then we're called to build the kingdom. And there's no more effective way to build than for believers to pray together. You see, we're responsible to pray individually and corporately, together as one, moving the kingdom forward. That's our responsibility. So, once you become a believer, you've got responsibilities. So now I want to close with this. These are not all of them, but they're the basic believer's responsibilities. These are the basic believer's responsibilities. The first one I've already mentioned, pray. Pray. Pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray for God's kingdom to come, to be established on the earth now. Pray for God's will in your life, in the church, and in the lives of people around you in the world. Pray. It's responsible faith. The second thing is live. Live what you say you believe. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff in this book that we read that people even speak with their mouths, but they don't live it. And I'm not talking about a perfect life. None of us are perfect. But live what you say you believe. The church is infected with heresy. People that profess to be believers, but live their lives opposite. Live ungodly lives. Again, I'm not talking about being perfect, but live ungodly lives. Ungodly lives. And I believe it's a stench in God's nostrils for people to come in and play religion and play church and then go out and live a life that's ungodly. Or even come into church with this ungodliness. And I don't think God takes it lightly. And I think you're playing with God when you do that. And you're certainly not having and living responsible faith. Live what you say you believe. And the third responsibility is to act. Act. What do you mean? Act on what? Witness to who God is in your life. Witness to who God is in your life. Share with people. You don't have to stand on the street corner waving a Bible or telling people they're going to hell if they don't come to Jesus. I mean, that's true. And there's a point in time maybe that that's appropriate with some people. But that's not how Jesus did it. The best way to act in responsible faith is to share with people what God's doing in your life. And if God's not doing something in your life, why not? It's not because of Him, is it? You see, there's too many people in the church today, in the church at large, that there's no act because there's nothing to act on. God's not moving in their life because they're not connecting with God. They come on Sunday morning and connect with God and praise Him and sing to Him and rub elbows with other Christians. And that's it. Unplug as soon as you go out the door. Listen, if God's not working in your life, it's your fault. If God's not working in my life, and I have experienced times of that, it's my fault. Okay? It's my fault. It's our fault. Take responsibility. Have responsible faith. You see, the problem with Christianity is that Christians want the benefits of Christianity. We want the benefits of a heavenly, powerful Father, don't we? Yes, of course. But we don't want the responsibility that comes with it. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon being a spirit. You'll love one and hate the other. You can't do it. It doesn't work. And so here's the last point. Responsible faith makes a difference. Responsible faith makes a difference in the believer and in others. Okay, I want you to write that down. I think our computer just crashed, but that's all right. Responsible faith makes a difference in the believer and in others. Now, here's what that means. When we're operating and moving in responsible faith, when we're taking care of our spiritual health, when we're spending time with God, when we're reading His Word so we know something about Him, it makes a difference in us. It makes a difference in your life. You cannot connect with God and not have it make a difference in your life. And when it makes a difference in your life, it makes a difference in others' lives. It makes a difference in your marriage, your kids, your relationship with those, your relationship with others, your relationship at work, your relationship at church. It makes a difference. Responsible faith makes a difference. And I say it's time for the church to take responsibility. Listen, times are drawing near. It's time for the church to take responsibility, to quit making excuses. Adam and Eve's excuses are burnt out. That devil made me do it thing. Listen, if you read God's word, He'll warn you ahead of time. The devil's going to try to make you do it. Don't fall for it. You see, we were talking about this in our life group the other night, about storms come. Storms come in our lives unexpectedly, don't they? Yes. And they do come sooner or later. You don't prepare for the storm when it hits. I mean, when the hurricane winds are about 80 miles an hour, is that when you go out and board up?
No.
But you know, that's what we do spiritually. That's what we do spiritually. We wait till the storm hits and it's like, man, hell's breaking loose. What's going on? Things are... God! No, prepare. If we're preparing responsibly, living responsible faith, we're prepared when the storm hits. Okay, God, I'm hunkering down with You. I'm praying against this. I'm opening my heart and my spirit to see how You want me to deal with this, to discern what's going on here. God, when that temptation comes, okay, I see it. God, I'm discerning that deceit there. I'm not stepping into that. Responsible faith is prepared before the storm hits.
Amen.
Quit making excuses. Let's quit being deceived. Quit being fearful. And get responsible for your faith. Worship team, would you guys come up? You know, we all want to teach our kids responsibility, don't we?
Yes.
But look how much irresponsibility is in the world today. Nobody takes responsibility for their actions, for their shortcomings. I see it even in the church. When things are confronted, people, well, this happened, or I didn't know, or that. No, that's wrong. Take responsibility. If I blew it, you know what? I say, I blew it. Forgive me. But don't try to make excuses. That's not responsible faith. I think sometimes we approach our faith just like little kids when we're learning, teaching them discipline. At least the few parents that do teach discipline still. You know, they say, well, this, that, you know, but I didn't know. Yes, you did. I told you. What's the consequences? Guess what God says? Here's really good things to live your life by. Not rules to put chains around you, but principles to give you freedom so the devil can't steal your life and steal your freedom. But there's also consequences of not following these principles, not applying them to your life. Let's pray. Where are you today? Where are you today? How are you living out your faith? Are you here today and you say, Pastor, I don't have faith. I mean, I believe in God. Well, I'm glad you believe in God, because so does Satan. Satan's not going to heaven. Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you, around you, and including you. And I believe it's time that some people take responsibility for where they are spiritually and get honest with yourself and say, you know what? I really don't have a relationship with Jesus. I need Christ in my life. And you know what? That's not a shameful thing. That's a wonderful, glorious thing to admit that and to come to grips with it and say, God, I need you. And I know the only way I can get to you, God, is through Jesus. And so I'm willing to place my faith in Him today. If that's you today, would you just slip your hand up while people are praying so I can pray for you? I want Christ in my life today. Slip your hand up if that's you today. Just get real. Get honest. Thank you. Hold your hands again. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hands. Okay. Anyone else? I need Christ in my life today. Okay, just those who raised your hands, I want you to look up here at me. Just those who raised your hands. This is a one-time deal. You don't have to do this over and over again. It's a matter of believing, according to how the Bible says, if you profess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, not in your head, in your heart, you will be saved. So pray this prayer with your heart today as you're looking at me, those who raised your hand. God, I need you. God, I want you today. And so I ask you, forgive me of my sins. I repent, as Jesus said, I repent today. And I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me to live the Christian life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. How about you, Christians, as you're praying? Have you been living a responsible faith? Let me throw something at you today, Christians. When's the last time you helped somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you helped somebody come to Jesus? That's probably pretty condemning for a lot of you. Say, well, I don't know. Listen, if you're saved, if you've received Christ, you know enough to lead someone else to Christ. Because all you got to do is tell them what He's done in your life. And the Spirit of God will work in their life. Are you making excuses for not praying? Are you making excuses for not reading your Bible? Are you making excuses for not being a witness? Are you making excuses for how you live your life? Christians, we need to get responsibility in the church. We need to get responsible faith today. Ask the Lord. I'm not beating you up. I hope I'm shaking you out of your comfort zone. You know what religion is? Religion is a recliner in the church. I hope I shake you out of your comfort zone today. And I hope the Holy Spirit shows you what He wants you to see today. I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to jolt you and encourage you. Take responsibility. Faith is real. Faith is great. Faith is powerful. Don't play with it. Handle it responsibly. Just like you'd handle anything else that you need to be responsible with. You have to be responsible on the highway. You have to be responsible with your finances. You have to be responsible with your family. How about being responsible with your faith? Because you know what? If you're responsible with your faith, it'll help you with all those other responsibilities. God, I thank you today for your word, this truth. I thank you, Lord, that you teach us, you show us. I thank you, God, that you've given us a responsibility to take back your kingdom. And so I pray, God, that we would begin to be about your business of arming ourselves with your Holy Spirit, with prayer and with the Word, and we begin to take back your kingdom that we gave away to the devil. Today, help us to begin today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take out that your bulletin and take that connection point, and please be sure and fill it out. If you need prayer for anything, put it on there so our prayer teams can pray for you. If you made a decision, those of you who raised your hand to have Christ come into your life, check that box, I accepted Christ, on the back. Fill out the front. All I want to do is send you some information that'll help you move forward in your journey with Christ. If you've been watching by internet, and maybe you gave your life to the Lord today, you made a decision, go to our website, connect with us there, and let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know the decision you may have made today. God wants to bless us. Just like it said in Genesis 1:28, He blessed them. And you know what? When we get responsible in our faith, He wants to pour the blessings out. He wants to pour them out. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to receive. As we continue our worship, Heart Cry family and friends, it's tithes and offering time.